Well, good morning, everyone. Pastor David here on Sunday, the 27th of June, the day when everything that I'd geared was in place for us to open up our church building and be together again to worship God. But God moves in a mysterious way, and we trust him and rest upon him. And so let's come to him now in prayer. Father God, we thank you again for the confidence that we have in your sovereignty and your grace and your mercy. And we pray that on this Sunday morning, although we're so disappointed at not being together, we pray that we will know afresh that you are with us as we gather in this way, and that you have promised to meet us and to bless us. And so we place ourselves and our service in your hands. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, it's I'm just looking at my watch. It's 20 to 9. And I've just heard the kettle going on, so Pauline has emerged, and I should have been waking her a little bit earlier for us to get to church, but we've got another 4 weeks, and I've had to very quickly devise a new set of audio messages. When I say devise, I've had to put together a new set of audio messages to cover this four-week period, and I instinctively turned to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, where there are four chapters. And so over these four fresh weeks, we'll take a chapter each time. Of course, Ruth is one of the best known stories in the Bible. And yet I want us to take another look at this book and to draw out some truths that I trust will help us to make right decisions as we live our Christian lives following Jesus. So if you have your Bible and would like to turn to Ruth chapter 1, I'm not going to read it, we'll work our way through it. And the first thing that we note as we look at this chapter, so we come to this book, is that everything in the Bible up to this point describes God's big picture, his big plan for the world. But here, the focus changes, and now God brings his great salvation plan down to a family and to an individual, to a person. And we remember that Jesus spoke of himself as the good shepherd in terms of salvation. Oh yes, there is the big picture of the flock, the 99, but the parable focuses on Jesus' dealing with the one. Searching, finding, carrying, bringing home. The Bible won't let us think of God as some remote controller in the sky, but it calls us to see him at work in family life, at work in your life. And so, to this book of Ruth, verse 1, we read, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab." So this is the time of the judges, and there's famine in the land. And we know that in the time of judges, Israel was again in sinful rebellion and failure. Disobedience was rife, and now, in God's judgment, his people are starving. And so this little family, husband Elimelech, wife Naomi, sons Mahlon and Chilion, decide to leave Bethlehem and go to live in Moab where there is food. But it didn't turn out well. First Elimelech dies. The two sons marry Moabite women, but then those two sons die, leaving the family now consisting of three widows. In the course of a decade, Naomi has had to bury all her close family. And so now she's faced with a huge decision. Does she stay in this foreign land, or does she return to God's promised land? And this choice really describes what we know in the New Testament as this matter of repentance, which of course means turning, not just feeling sorry. Repentance is about turning. And so 12 times in this chapter, the idea of turning, of repenting, is brought to us. So let's look first at what seems on the surface a very reasonable and sensible decision from Elimelech and from Orpah to turn. For Elimelech facing famine, it seems the right decision to go to foreign Moab to provide and to care for his family. What husband wouldn't do that? But had he really thought this through? Surely Elimelech, as a godly man, would know from the past that famine is one of the ways that God brings judgment on his people because of their sin and disobedience. Just a little thought, prayer, would have directed him to sorrow over the nation's sin, but he didn't do that, and he chose a human fix for a divine problem. And then look at where he decided to go. Moab. Now, Moab was a perennial enemy of Israel. You remember, of course, that Moab originated when drunken Lot fathered Moab through his daughter. And Moab was the nation now that refused Israel passage through their country. They were the ones who had seduced Israeli women, bringing God's judgment. Moab had terrorized Israel for 18 years. There were very good reasons why Israel was now separate from Moab. Choosing to go, of all places, to Moab, Elimelech. Is it really a good decision? Really? Well, yes, there's food there, but there's no true God worship there. There's no church. There's no God's people. And how many times have I seen good Christians make moves to places where there's no evangelical church, there's no fellowship of God's people, but it seems that to move to that place is going to be better for them. They're going to gain materially. But time and time again, I've watched as their spiritual lives become bankrupt. Oh, now, of course, if challenged, Elimelech probably would have answered, but we won't stop there for long. That's what it says there, that they went to live for a while in the country of Moab. And they would have, Elimelech would have been sure, well, they're not going to stay for long. But actually, once there, he stayed permanently and lost everything. Our decisions have lasting consequences, long-lasting consequences. And that's why, as God's people, when those attractive but worldly opportunities come our way, offering a better life, as we think, we're called to ask, will this take me and mine on with following and serving Jesus? Or will this decision and move take me away? And then this girl, Orpah, has an equally important decision. When all this had happened, does she leave and go with my mother-in-law, or does she stay at home? And it seems again that Orpah makes a sensible decision. I mean, to go as a widower with no children back then, and to her, a foreign country, to go like that was a very major issue. There was no state pensions, there were no benefit payments. Your husband and children were your future security and inheritance. So for Orpah to stay with her own mother, well, it just seems, well, that's the right thing to do. And Naomi spells out clear that she'll never be able to provide more sons for the girls to marry. So take the sensible option and go back. Verse 9. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. And then Naomi kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? So Naomi's pretty clear about this, and Orpah is convinced and decides to go back, and from that point she disappears entirely from the account of God's blessing. Her decision seems to secure her future, but now she's not listed ever again among God's people. And so for us, as we face those big decisions, we must always ask, will this bring me closer to God's promises, or will it take me away from him? Well, we may say like Elimelech, but, well, I don't intend to stay for long with this move, just until I've paid off the mortgage, or I've got the kids through university, or I bought that new house. And making this move makes a lot of sense for me, for us at this moment. But Elimelech and Orpah speak powerfully to us about making decisions based solely on self and what seems best for us. And forgetting to factor God in to those decisions. Forgetting to bring to the fore our commitment to serve and to work for him. And those big decisions always have these wider consequences. Naomi has a full, wonderful family when she goes to Moab, but she loses it all and returns empty. Verse 21, she says, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Obviously, Naomi had been a part of the decision to go to Moab, but it turned out to be 10 years of sadness, 3 funerals and no grandchildren. To bury your husband and your own children tears you apart. Verse 13. Would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Now, Naomi, of course, from that verse is still a believer, but her view of God is that he is a God that lacks any care or mercy. He seems against me. Her bitterness has blinded her to God's kindness. Look at verse 6. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. She'd forgotten about that. And then we we find there in verse 8, I think it is verse 8, I'm struggling to read this small print. Then Naomi said to her two daughters, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you." Kindness, this is the God of grace. This is the God of provision. This is the God of kindness. Verse 22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. This is the God of provision. He's provided food. He's shown his kindness. And when she returns, it is at the beginning of the barley harvest, a plentiful supply of food. And Ruth is with her. Yes, Naomi went away, but the Lord brought her back. What it says, verse 21, "I went away full, but the Lord brought me back." The Lord brought her back. Now, of course, we must be careful here, because not all loss and suffering means that we've wandered away. It may be that, but not always. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And so we judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace, because behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. And so now, finally and briefly, we note that Ruth's turn, we've seen how Elimelech turned away, Orpah turned away, Naomi eventually turned back, and now we come to Ruth's turn. And we have to say that Ruth's turn is a very risky turn. This is huge for Ruth. She's turning her back on home and all she's used to, all her possessions, her family, her very culture, her language. Now, she makes a binding till death do us part commitment with Naomi and with Naomi's God. Why would she do that? What has she to gain? Seems that she's sentencing herself to a life of poverty and loneliness. You know, it's a risky decision for the Christian to follow Jesus and turn our backs on all that the world can offer us. But look at the clues in these verses that actually show Ruth that it's not as risky as it seems. That verse 6 again. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. The Lord had come to the aid of his people. That he was a providing God. He was a caring God. Naomi had spoken of the Lord's goodness and care and provision. That verse 8 that I read earlier of how kind the Lord is, and Ruth trusts in Naomi's God's goodness and kindness. And brothers and sisters, that's what faith is. It's knowing we have nothing to commend us to God, knowing we are empty, knowing we are aliens and enemies and deserve nothing from him. But we cast ourselves on him. Ruth left everything behind to belong to God. So what about you? Where will you turn for your hope and your security? Where's your hope for your family placed? Oh, the world will offer you plenty of what appears to be sensible options. Like Elimelech, will you go the way of material temptation, which ultimately will take you away from the Lord God? Or maybe you're like Naomi and have experienced such hard times that now you're bitter. And the message this morning is that God speaks, and he says to you as an individual, he says to you, to your family, turn to me. It's not too late. Turn to the Father who loves you. and welcomes you home.
You're welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home to the Father who loves you. You're welcome home. Been on the road far too long. Long uphill climb awaits me. I think I'll come to my senses. I'm about as low as can be. Father, I'm broken before you. Here, let me stay at your feet. Humble and lost in the shadows, hoping our eyes will not meet. Welcome home, welcome home to the Father who loves you. You're welcome home. Welcome home, welcome home to the Father who loves you. You're welcome home. Come to the feast, where the greatest are least, and the last shall be first. Come to the light, where the darkness of night will be taken away. Come to the place where the hurt on your face will be turned. In my kingdom, kingdom of light. Welcome home, welcome home to the Father who loves you. You're welcome home. Welcome home.
With me, he was lost but he's found.